And now, this episode of Flight Risk brought to you by our lovely sponsors at...
Welcome, traveler, to our audio tavern. Come inside, rest your feet, listen to a tale I tell you about.
Stop it.
Oh, you're not loving this, are you?
No, that was very cringy.
No.
Okay, you tell him then.
Hi, I'm Kyle.
I'm Steven.
I'm Taylor.
And I'm Dakota.
And together, we're Tall Dwarf Tavern, a Dungeons & Dragons role-playing podcast.
Our current season is set in the world of Zendikar from Magic the Gathering, so you can get two nerd properties for the price of one.
Even though you asked for neither.
We visit some pretty awesome places, like the walled city of Seagate, the overgrown jungles of the Tangled Vale, and the volcanic mountains of Akoon, and cause irreversible environmental damage.
We also encounter some incredible monsters like Baeloths, Earth Elementals, and giant sea serpents, and we get to fight all of them, poorly.
So come along and enjoy a tale of epic adventure dominated by poor humor, crude language, and even worse listening skills in the wonderful land of Zendikar. Find us on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting platform.
Seriously, please, no one else would listen to us.
We need this right now.
You're the last one on our email list. We need you guys.
Please.
God, please.
We have nothing else.
Please! I need to feed my family!
Hey, flight fans. GM as always, Dwayne here. My pronouns are he and him. This episode of Flight Risk stars...
I'm Mark. My pronouns are he, him, and I'm playing Aaron Windstalker, Seeker Pathfinder, Warrior, Steel Hand Adept. And his pronouns are he, him.
Hello, my name is Doug Eberhart, he, him, and tonight I'm going to be playing Traj Azros, she, her. And Traj is a Dathmerian warrior with the specialization Steel Hand.
Let's buckle up. It's time for another Flight Risk episode.
A long, long, long time ago. In a galaxy far, far away.
Aaron Windstalker finds himself on Dathomir and partnered with a Night Sister in training. The unusual duo find themselves locked in combat with a tentacled beast known as the Sleeper. Will these two Force users be able to use their fantastic abilities to fend off this monstrosity? Or will the dark side have its day?
Just grabs him by the ankle and yanks him off the ground. And now you're dangling upside down as this thing is pulling you towards its massive jaws.
Whoa! Jeez! Put me down! A little help here?
Yeah, you look like you're doing just fine.
I love the compassion from Traj. Since this is just a small group, we'll just keep going in the round. The two players, and then I'll have the nemesis attack. So if you guys want to switch back and forth or just keep going Mark, Doug, monster, that is also fine. But if you want to switch places, that's okay. So we're back at two player turns.
Okay. Am I up?
You can go, yeah.
Okay.
I'm just dangling.
Trying to think of any reason Traj would want to help Aaron at all.
You could kill two birds with one stone if you chop off the tentacle that's grabbing me.
Yeah, I had considered it. It went against the last thing that Traj said, though. Maybe it was slightly sarcastic. Maybe Traj laughs a little bit and says, like, yeah, you look like you're doing just fine, and punches in the air with full force. And she's attempting to let this punch sever the tentacle that is holding on to Aaron right now. And again, I know I probably need a billion triumphs, but...
No, I'm a fairly generous GM. Have light sides if you want to flip it, and remember, you're only doing, instead of doing the two purple, you're going against the one purple for your attack because it is... it's such a large creature. And this is considered a melee attack, correct? Okay, I just
yeah. Oh no, it's brawn.
Well, brawl, you're not. I'm just saying it's considered you punching it. You're not throwing something, correct? Because if it was a ranged attack of some sort, you'd have to throw a red because Aaron is engaged. But if you're punching it, I'll say that you have enough control over. Even if you're doing a projectile punch, I won't make you roll a red to accidentally punch Aaron.
That would be funny. Maybe if I get a despair. No, it's supposed to be brawl. Let me just check, make sure I'm doing this correctly. So if I make a brawl check, I can do it as a range check. It's supposed to be short distance, but it can be further, and I can go further if I have a force rating, which I have force rating 2. And what's that symbol that's like half white, half black?
That's, it signifies that's either
force die?
Yeah, either,
or a point?
Either point, either dark side or light side.
Okay. Okay, well, I think I've been doing this correctly. I just, I'm probably going to do it a bunch more this game. I didn't want to break the rules too bad. Okay, so my difficulty is one purple or one red?
Well, it's going to be one red because it's a nemesis. They're going to upgrade it once, so yeah, it'd be one red.
Got it. Okay. I am not going to flip because I don't think I need it for a brawl check. Okay. Here we go. I got 2 successes, 2 advantage, and one of my successes is a triumph.
Okay, cool.
I want to cut that. I want to cut that tentacle. We're being bad force boys, but
okay.
Doing things the aggressive way.
Okay. So what does it look like? You described it as kind of like a green ichor flame. So how does that cut off a tentacle? Does it burn it off? Does it cut through like a knife?
What kind of move do you do?
I think this punch is kind of like she throws her whole arm forward, and it is kind of like a all 5 fingers are extended, and this ichor flame kind of, instead of when she punched earlier, it was like a big blast. This is like a more focused slice of ichor fire that kind of shoots 20 feet in the air, and it's more focused, and it just severs this tentacle.
Nice. Okay. So yeah. So, and you said you did how much damage total?
2 success. So that's 8. So 8 damage. And with that, pierce 4. Okay. That's a very strong punch.
All right, I'm trying to keep track of this wound. So I'll see when it's gonna go. All right. Cool. So yeah, Aaron, you're dangling upside down. You were being lowered toward just the maw of this thing. And then all of a sudden you are free falling in the air as the tentacle that you were being held up from has been severed from the beast. The beast.
Free falling towards the maw.
I would say it was like, it was bringing you forward and you're kind of dropping. Like it looks like you're going that way and you kind of just drop to like, you are right in front of the thing now. Like if it falls forward, you're going to be, you know, squished. So you're just right in front of it, and it just, you see its just mouth just open up and just scream as like just the drool and viscera is just dripping from its mighty jaws as it's just gushing. What color blood does the sleeper have? Doug, this is your planet, so what color do you think?
He's got blue tentacles, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's like a very light blue. It's very gel-like, almost translucent. I think it sprays out of this tentacle all over.
Oh, thanks.
All right.
I think you're covered.
And there's this blue, like, Vaseline-y blood is just sprayed all over Aaron Winstalker as he lands on the ground.
Just goops. Great. So back on the ground, he has his connection with this planet again. He feels the earth beneath his feet, and he's going to do something similar to what he did previously, where he's going to... So he sees the little bits of stone that broke off from his previous attack, and he's going to try and raise those in the air and throw them at this creature while making a hasty retreat.
All right.
Okay, and we sort of we talked about this previously, but Aaron, the way he doesn't see the Force like the Jedi or the Sith. This is his like his connection to the universe, and it's like a friendly thing that is always around. Sometimes it's light, sometimes it's dark, but it's always there for him when he needs it. So I'm going to use these dark side points, these dark side pips to throw some chunks of rock. He falls to the ground and regains his connection. He sort of slides his foot from in front to the side and raises one hand up, sort of like scooping up these rocks into the air. And then he brings both his hands towards him and then pushes them both out, sort of palm out towards this creature, shooting these little bits of stone at it. And mechanically it will do 8 damage minus its soak. And then he is going to take the opportunity to run.
Okay. As in run away or just back the hell up?
He's going to get at least as far as that tree that got okay. punched.
So a safe distance. You're not disengaging. You're just backing up a little bit. Sure. So since you're channeling the dark side, what part of the dark side is Aaron grabbing? Is he grabbing the anger, the fear? How is he channeling the dark side into this rock throw?
I think what he's feeling is this thing's tentacle just got cut off. This thing is in pain, and it's radiating that pain. He's always had a connection with animals, so he can feel that coming off of it. And it doesn't necessarily feel right to use the pain of the animal to cause more pain, but he needs to protect himself.
Sure. And I'm sorry, once again, what would you say the damage you did was?
1, 2, 3, 5, 8.
Okay. No.
I'm imagining that those were like small stones rather than like a big rock.
Yeah, Trosh, as you see Aaron just start throwing these rocks like just quick projectiles at it, that white noise kind of clears away and you feel it like, instead of it being almost a repulsion from what he was doing, you now feel like a more of a connection to whatever he's tapping into right now. Feels very similar to how you tap into the Force. It almost mirrors what you felt from other Night Sisters. And do the Night Brothers have powers? I don't know. They do?
Yeah, they do. I think that they're not as powerful. Like, nurtured, but
so then yeah, it'll definitely feel like some sort of halfway point to what you feel coming off the other Night Sisters and the Night Brothers. It's something different but the same about how he's channeling the Force that you definitely recognize. It maybe with your eyes closed or whatever, you would feel that this is someone from Dathomir actually wielding the Force like you're used to seeing it or used to feeling it.
I think that this connection is something, yeah, it's something that Traj has experienced before. And I think that Traj's hometown, her group, her people, since they're made up of these brothers and sisters, or maybe can't define as either, they have a different way of fighting than either also. And maybe because they're made up of these two groups, maybe they have like a closer community as far as fighting and as far as how they nurture their abilities, even though they're maybe not as like respected as powerful warriors or powerful witches. But what I'm getting to is I think maybe Traj feeling this connection to what Aaron's doing is going to like aid in his attack. So she's going to throw a punch and like let it course through these stones that Aaron's throwing in, or increase their velocity, or send a wave of I-core energy through them.
Okay, definitely, yeah. Go ahead. Roll an attack, and good, upgrade it, because that sounds like a very cool story moment. That you guys are basically, you know, uniting your powers in such a way that the rocks are becoming, like, encircled by the green flame as they're being ratcheted at this monster.
There's just too many yellows in this roll for it to be. Because I got another triumph. Two successes and okay. A triumph. And one advantage. Oh. So, maybe you can help me use my triumph, but I think that as like angry or impatient for this ceremony, for this moment, as Traj has been, I think that killing this beast is actually something that she doesn't want to do, because it's part of the ritual. It's part of like the this moment that needs to be passed down and shared within the culture. So if I can use my triumph to like help this attack kind of just push it into the water or something, like push like deter it from continuing the fight, I think that's what I'd like to do. Unless we just kill it.
No, it's you know, if this was a video game, it would be bloodied in D&D terms. So you guys are doing a good job of whittling it down. Yeah, I will say that, trying to remember Aaron's sheet. You have an animal ability of some kind, right?
I do, okay. Yeah. Multiple animal okay. abilities.
Well, yeah, I remember, I'm trying to remember the one you used on the Purgles and stuff.
Yeah, it was really just a survival check with my force rating added.
Okay, you don't have no force, there's no force animal power or something that I'm thinking that I'm remembering. Maybe you're just really good at survival.
I've got animal empathy, which is when making checks to handle or tame animals, add force dice up to force rating. And then I've also got the animal bond and mental bond. So yeah, Aaron, a year ago, was all about communing with animals.
All right, so I will say that, yeah, definitely on the triumph, that this thing is now just shocked by the amount of damage these two little things have been able to do. I mean, you guys looked like a yummy snack or whatever, and you guys are, you know, throwing rocks and fire and things that it's definitely not prepared for. So it is definitely afraid. It's starting to back up and move away from you guys, and looks like it's trying to maybe move back towards the water. So if you guys do leave it alone, it'll probably just kind of slurp and step and crunch whatever it does to move. However, something with tentacles walks on land, those crazy octopus videos you see on YouTube, it'll kind of move its way back towards the water. If you guys want to do some sort of check to commune with it, talk with it, make it feel okay, that's up to you. If not, it'll go back into the water and lick its wound and wait to eat a night sister on another day.
I think that ball is kind of in Aaron's court.
I think Aaron might.
Maybe it's not, but maybe Traj, like, can help suggest it. Although, I mean, I don't think Aaron really wants to kill an animal, but I think at this point, Traj says, "We need to leave. Let it go. Let it go back to the waters. If we can, let's get out of here."
Yeah, I'm sort of imagining Traj just walking off on her own after saying that. I think Aaron would consider going with her, but before doing that, maybe reach out and try and not like bond with this creature, but apologize in a way.
Sure.
In through the force, in the way that he sort of knows how.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, go ahead, give a check to see
if you could. I would do that survival check.
Yeah, do that. Go ahead, upgrade because of the triumph, because you guys' powers have combined Captain Planet style, so you're feeling jazzed and more connected to the force probably than you've felt since you've left week. This is probably the strongest you felt.
probably at least a setback in there because we were just attacking it a minute ago.
Yes, no, yeah, it's in a heightened flight state, so it's not really receptive to it, but yeah.
Yeah. And how difficult?
Trying to figure out what would it be against this animal? It's disciplined, it's what? I mean, I could just set a random difficulty, but I don't know there's...
It might be discipline.
It doesn't have a lot of discipline. It only has 2 green for the discipline, but,
Yeah, we'll say against 2 purple, I'll flip one of these dark sides just to make things interesting, to make it 1 red, 1 purple. And a black, of course.
That's 1, 2 successes, 2 advantages, and a triumph.
All right, good.
So he sort of approaches this thing with a hand outstretched, and it is backing quickly into the water. He doesn't have, like, force healing, mm-hmm. but he's sort of... In his sort of connectedness that he sees, he does what he can to sort of transfer a little of himself to this thing and make it feel like they were only doing what they were forced to do. Mm-hmm. He just wants to let it know that no hard feelings.
Yeah, like you said, you may not be able to cure the wounds of it or whatever, but you are definitely able to calm it down, sedate it maybe, so it's not as heightened and afraid or whatever, and that it just is going to go back to the depths of this water, lick its wounds, and just learn from this experience, I guess, and hopefully next time if it sees 2 little people out there, maybe wait and see if they start throwing rocks or not. And we'll learn from this. Who knows? Mm-hmm. I pity the next night sister who has to do this.
Yeah. I imagine it regrows its tentacles, so it'll be just as bad the next time.
If not, a little more wary, a little more quick to something, so.
For that that triumph, can he, as he's doing that, as this thing is moving back into the water, its ripples coming up onto the shore, can he, like, look down and notice one of those plants that Quaya saw on wheat?
Oh, the healing plant.
The healing plant.
Definitely. Yeah. Maybe it's not the same identical plant, but it looks, you know, like, well, there's yellow roses and red roses. It's like, hey, that's the same plant, but maybe just a slightly different color, or maybe it's a little bit bigger, but it definitely looks like the medicinal plant that Quay found way back on week.
Well, there's also, like, Queen Anne's lace and, what is it? Hemlock?
Yes.
That looks exactly the same. One is very edible and one is very deadly.
This is the triumph. So this is going to be the safe one. If it was the despair, it would have been the bad one.
Yeah. Yeah. So he picks that and, he follows, Traj off chewing on a leaf. Sure.
Yeah. Go ahead. And, what do we treat it as last time? I think we tried it as a stim pack last time. So yeah, go just treat it as an herbal stim pack. Cause you know, herbal remedies are just as good as real medicine, people. At least in the fantasy world of Star Wars.
I think Traj was actually not walking quite off, but walking towards the tentacle.
Okay.
And Traj takes up this massive tentacle, because even though it was just this, it's got to be like probably 6 feet long and at least 2 or 3
feet
around.
Yeah, it's very huge.
Very big.
She drapes it over her shoulders.
Exactly. Yeah. Drapes this thing over her shoulders and says, just looks over at Aaron and says, thanks. Mission accomplished.
You're welcome. Is that dinner right there?
No, it's not dinner. It's far more important than that.
I don't know. Can I come with you? We can maybe talk about it.
What's there to talk about? Thank you for the help.
Listen, hey, I'm just a simple man trying to make his way in the galaxy. If I'm just trying to learn things here. If you could tell me a little bit about what you're going to do with it, and I can clearly see that you use the Force. If there's anything you could tell me or teach me, I'd be happy to listen. If you had any stories to tell or anything, I don't know.
I have much knowledge in the Force. What I assume you mean as the Force. My magics are extremely powerful, as you've seen.
Is there a way for me to learn these magics?
Why? My impulse is to say,
from the Jedi.
I know.
Remember, yeah. If you want this could be a turning moment for the Night Sisters. Are they going to be? Is Trosh going to make this a more open thing where she does recognize this connection that Aaron has? He's not a Knight Brother. His connection is so much stronger. It's probably maybe the first time you've seen a male with the connection to the Force that the Knight Sisters have. It shouldn't be this way, but somehow this male has the same connection, the same raw energy that you seem to have. He just is addressing it from a different angle.
Yeah, Traj sizes Aaron up, looks him from head to toe, and says, "These magics cannot be learned from a Jedi."
I've met Jedi, and I want nothing to do with those pompous. I've got a whole lot of words to say about them, and frankly, they're not for polite company. But yeah, I would be happy to learn, and willing to learn. I could probably teach you some things as well.
Perhaps you could. How can I be assured that I can trust you and that you won't use what you've seen and learned for the wrong reasons?
I'm not sure you can. Like I said, I'm just an explorer. I'm just trying to learn things. And it's just for knowledge's sake. It's not for using against anybody. Like I said, I'm not one of those Jedi. I'm not Sith. I really want nothing to do with either of them.
Very well. I prefer it if I don't have to trust you. But you may follow me and learn from my experience.
Great. Where are we going?
You could be my apprentice.
So as this duo are making their way back to Traj's village or home, you guys, I'm going to flip a dark side since I still have a couple left, and I want to make sure Andrew gets a bang for his buck here.
Don't forget that I rolled that despair
exactly
early on, too.
This is all tying together.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool.
So you just hear a rumbling, crushing sound from the brush as a rancor is just rushing at you. And as it's coming through the brush, you both feel that weird white noise again. But you guys have kind of gotten used to your guys' shared white noise. This is something different. This is something way different and way, way more intense. As it's like almost like a ringing in your ears for a moment as this rancor is rushing at you, just roaring through the brush. It crushes through the brush and just rushes directly at you. And as it gets to, we'll say, about 10 yards away from you, you see it just stop. And it's still running, but somehow it's lifted off of the ground. And this raging beast is confused and roaring and trying to run at you, but can't. And so you see this individual step out of the shadows, almost like literally out of darkness. And it is a older human that has graying hair, graying beard, wearing dark robes with like a silver or almost chromish chest piece with some sharp shoulder pads on it. And he walks out with his one hand out and stretched. And you both know instantly that he is holding up this rampaging rancor using his connection to the Force. If you guys want to do a knowledge check to see if you might know him, it'll probably be pretty hard because I'd imagine Traj hasn't really gone off planet, but we're...
Yeah, Traj has never left the planet.
But Aaron has traveled. So Aaron, it would probably be a hard check for you. So 3 purple. If Traj wants to make the check, I'd say 4 purple. If you want to see if maybe somehow through the force or something, maybe you get some sort of understanding of who this person is.
All right, I will do it. I'm going to flip just so I have a chance. I'm rolling a green and a yellow against the 3 purples.
You guys do have those light slides.
Oh, wait. Nope. Nope. 1 threat.
Got excited for 1 second. Oh.
There was a dice. There was a one die I was hiding, but it was just a threat. Right.
Failure with 4 threats.
Very appropriate.
Yeah, you both have no idea who this person is, but just by appearance, you know that they are extremely, extremely powerful, that they're holding this thing up with no strain, no effort, almost like Aaron. It'd be like if you were just flipping a pebble between your hands. That's how much thought he's giving holding this Rancor in the air. And he just walks over as the Rancor's legs are dangling there. And I don't know, maybe he's being cocky and he's slowly rotating the Rancor around, making it spin upside down just because he can, because he's a pompous ass. He'll just say...
That was quite the impressive display by the two of you. I don't think I've ever seen a combination of force powers like that. You're clearly not trained by the Jedi, and if you were Sith, you would be more disciplined. What exactly are the two of you?
Do you know this guy?
I've never seen him before. Who are you? How can you do this? How do you know of us?
He puts his left hand that's not holding the Rancor up to his chest.
Oh, truly, you have no idea who I am? This is so rare for me. Most people recognize me on sight, but I guess on this backwater little mudball, it's possible you wouldn't know me. That is something I'm going to have to change. I must make certain I'm known across the galaxy. This is honestly a little upsetting. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be so rude. I am Lord Vitiate of the Sith, and I'll ask again, who are you?
Sith scum. My name's Aaron. I'm not from around here. We were just on our way. You can let that Rancor go, and we'll just move right along.
If I let this Rancor go, it's going to run right over you. Is that what you want? Are you ready to die today?
It's not. It's not, though. It'll be fine. Maybe it'll run you over, though.
Oh, no, it won't, my friend. Aaron, was it? I can tell you're not from around here. It's your style of dress and the way you speak. How do you know how to do what you do? I know the Jedi would never train someone like you. So who instructed you? Who is your master?
I'm no Jedi. I'm no Sith. I walk the center road. And I have no master. Well, this one's kind of my master. We just kind of talked about apprentice stuff, but I have no master.
Ah, the centrist path is a tightrope of cowardice and indecision. There is a war being fought in this galaxy, and you cannot hope to maintain your balance. Eventually, you will fall to one side or the other. Someone will win, and I can guarantee...
And I'll still be here when it's over. How about that? Either way.
No, you won't. If you don't side with us, do you honestly think I'll let you continue when I win? And if somehow I lose, do you think the Jedi will let some wild cards like you continue to exist? If you do not follow the Jedi's path, they will imprison you or simply snuff you out. They are uncompromising. You are too raw and too unchecked to be part of their collective. They will lock you up for being unnatural. So you have to decide, Ms. I don't think I got your name.
I am Traj Azros. This is my planet, and I don't care about the Jedi or the Sith. Dathomir gives us power, and there is nothing that you can do to threaten us here.
Aaron sort of smiles and points at her with a thumb and shrugs. Nothing you can do.
You severely underestimate me. There is so much I can do, but these are not idle threats. They are observations and promises. This war, this one that I plan on winning, those who stand against me or walk this middle path you're so fond of will be viewed the same as the Jedi. Are you comfortable with that?
I would prefer it if you didn't group me in with the Jedi, but yeah, sure, that's fine.
We walk our own path.
Yeah, speaking of walking a path, we're heading somewhere, so see ya. See ya, buddy.
Are we
to start walking away from him?
I mean, it's a fantasy world. You can do anything you'd like to do. Whether he lets you walk away is a different question. You know, he does have a rancor floating there ready to, I guess, drop on you, I guess, if whatever he wants to do with this thing.
I think Aaron starts to walk away, and maybe it's like a confidence bluff.
Yeah, there is something else that I kind of want to do, but I do want to go with that confidence bluff. As Doug so nicely put it.
I think Traj doesn't just confidently walk away and is kind of standing, like, legs arched, knees bent, ready to attack, or, like, ready for whatever is about to happen.
Aaron starts walking away and sees that Traj is not coming along. And he's going to sort of subtly reach out towards the Rancor and try what he tried on the tentacle creature.
So you're going to try to...
What would you like me to roll for that?
Let's see. The thing is being suspended in the air. It is really, really upset. I would say give me... We'll say two purple and a red.
Okay. No despairs.
Darn.
So sorry. Also, no That's failures. Good. One. So I'm going to go with one success, and including my force dice, seven advantages.
Whoa. Okay.
Wow. It's crazy.
So Aaron is just radiating calm towards this captive Rancor, and I don't even know what to do with seven advantages.
That's a lot of advantages.
So yeah, he reaches out towards the Rancor. He reaches out to the planet. The Rancor is obviously connected to its home world, and though it is suspended in the air, it still has this connection. And I think it at least calms down. Maybe with seven advantages, it doesn't calm down, but a connection is established. Like, it's faking it now.
I have it like in my head, like an economy when it comes to successes and advantages, like so many advantages,
like three advantages,
that type of thing, where I'm like, that's enough to me where I think that you could reach out and you've connected with this Rancor and that you can feel that there are, we'll say two more, since you got six, we'll say that divides into two triumphs, that you can feel that there are two more Rancors that are moving about. And maybe they're looking for this one. This is part of their pod. I don't know what a group of Rancor is called.
Yeah, I like pod.
I think
that's
whales.
Good.
Yeah. Or flock. Yeah, that'd be a weird thing for a ground animal. But yeah, well, I guess flock of sheep too, right? So, so yes, they're looking for this missing member of their flock, and they feel this draw towards you. So, I'm leaving it up to you. Is Aaron Windstalker going to call these Rancor over to save their kin, or what do you want to do this connection you have with these three Rancor right now?
Yeah, I think the two other Rancors are sort of wandering around, and are we in sort of like a forested area? There are like trees and rocks and stuff.
Yeah,
around.
I would say yeah. Yeah, it's okay. Very natural, very wooded.
Yeah, and he's got his back to this Lord guy, and as he feels the connection, he's got his eyes closed. He sort of smiles a little bit. And I think, yeah, those two other Rancors are going to sort of do Jurassic Park Velociraptor style, just like pop in through the bushes on either side.
Okay. So, yeah, so he's just still going on his spiel about, you know, that
you have to choose Sith or Jedi. Refusing the choice is the path of the coward or the fool.
And in the middle of a sentence, you just hear like just the cracking of like trees being crushed. And he looks to the left and there's just a massive Rancor. And you guys realize the one he's holding must be the baby, because these are significantly bigger than the one he's holding. And he doesn't have time to do another, you know, lift, levitate thing. But he's going to just kind of leap backwards out of the way of this, dropping the baby Rancor. And when he lands, he looks up at you and does not have enough time to even get off a quip as he gets just bowled over by the second Rancor that was coming over here. And he's just knocked to the ground, and you see him rolling, getting just dirt, grass, muck on his shiny metal and black outfit that he's wearing. And he just spits when he gets up.
What was that? You will pay for this.
Like money? I don't have credits. I'm sorry your uniform got scuffed. But I know this good smith back on my home planet. Goes by the name Swordfire. He might be able to, you know, help you with that little dent there. What was it you were saying about these Rancors, attacking me? Was there something about that?
I think Traj is gonna run over to Aaron, and I want to use a force power. I want to use misdirect. I want to cloak us from this enemy.
Ooh.
And I want us to try and use that to escape.
Cool.
Because I think Traj knows enough about the force and senses enough about the force to know that this this enemy is too powerful for them to fight, even together, even with Rancors. So misdirect, this is a force power I have that I've never used before as a player. I can use the force to create an illusion. And targets are in short range under unable to perceive the persons or objects of silhouette one or smaller, which are both of us. Let's see.
So you're just rolling some force dice?
Yeah. And I have range and I have magnitude. And so magnitude makes it so that I can do it for the two of us. So I'm just going to roll one force die.
You can roll two, right? Your force rating's two.
Oh, I've never had a force rating of two in this game before. I get to roll a second one. Okay, well, I got two light side and one dark.
I guess I never asked. Is Traj a dark side user, I assume? Or are they a light side user?
I think that Traj is honestly, like, you know, has a bit of a temper and you would think is kind of a dark side user, but I think that they kind of walk the middle path, because I also think that I want to actually call them magic users with a K. The I-Core magic users of Dathomir, which is basically just their word for force. I think that they embrace the dark side, but I think that they find balance within the dark side that they use. And I think that even though that they use it for, maybe like I'm messing up the canon or how it's supposed to be interpreted, but I think that they like kind of use it for evil sometimes, but I think it's their perspective, actually. I think that they don't understand that they're, that how they use it is evil. It's more like culturally,
yeah, I get it.
Power, which yeah, I
they're
feel
they're like the gray Jedi, but they might be a darker gray Jedi, more charcoal, you know, it's like one of those deals.
They're charcoal Jedi. That's the way, that's what we're going to call it from now on.
Okay.
So maybe as if their character develops more, they'll be more picky. But from now, at this point, I think that they take what they are going to get.
Okay. Perfect. So you rolled, so it was successful, correct?
I guess. How do I interpret two light side and a dark?
Yeah. So your ability, those half light, half dark symbols. So it probably takes one pip to activate the power, and then it probably takes another pip to silhouette a sec or to misdirect with a second person.
That makes sense.
So that's just me guessing, not having that in front of me.
Could I use the two light side and ignore
the dark side? Yeah, I would say in that moment that I don't know if you take Aaron's hand, his arm, or something like that, so you make a physical connection. And what mm-hmm. illusion, or how does this power manifest for Traj?
Yeah, I think Traj grabs Aaron by the arm and puts two fingers in the air and makes this sort of hand motion and waves it across, and the two of them slowly vanish into kind of rippling mist that kind of joins the rest of the red mist of Dathomir, and probably to a Sith Lord like this guy, he's powerful enough to detect something like this, but with the addition of some rancors, I think it's going to be pretty hard. So to anyone else, they're just a shimmering red mist that disappears.
Yeah, so as you guys are just disappearing, you can hear the crackle of force lightning and this guy just screaming explicitives at the rancors as they're just bowling around and pushing him around as they're trying to protect their baby, like mama bears do, that kind of stuff. And you just hear him screaming and the crackle of lightning.
Death will
and
come
you guys disappear swiftly into wherever, Trosh disappears to. And I think that's a good place to stop. I don't know if there's something else you guys want to do. You guys want to have a scene now? Or I kind of like the idea of you guys disappearing into mist to go to God knows where, or Force knows where.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they're going to, all I'll say is I think they're going to head back to Traj's home camp. And as Traj's newly appointed
apprentice or whatever?
Apprentice.
I think it's going to be more... I think it's going to be more of an equal partnership after we sit down and finalize all the details, but yes.
I think Traj probably makes Aaron carry the tentacle while she continues to continue to create the illusion that they're missing.
Nice, and we got to have a nice montage of the hazing that Aaron goes through for the next month or so in the village and all that kind of stuff.
Yep. And then the next time we see Aaron, he has the Night Sister tree for some reason.
Yeah, and you know what? We'll see next time Aaron comes back. Yeah, we'll be in the Night Sister tree. I just want to give a quick thank you so much to Doug and Mark for coming on to continue Aaron's story and to introduce Traj to our universe and help us really build this Nighter kind of corner of our AU. This whole Volume 2 for us has been very Force-centered. We're kind of looking at the Force how I see it, so you may have seen how the Jedi aren't necessarily the shining knights. The Sith, to me, aren't these nefarious evil as much as they are. But so this Night Sister stuff is right in the middle. It's really filling out our universe. I want to thank both you guys for coming on and give you both a chance to plug, what you guys are online and where people can find you. So, yeah, Doug, where can people find you, and what else do you do online?
So, thank you for inviting me to play. This has been a lot of fun, and maybe we'll hear from Traj in a future episode, or I don't know. But you can find my artwork at voidboy.art. I'm an artist. I sell some prints and stuff like that. And you can hear my voice on my brother's podcast, Coruscant Nights, and his Other podcast, The Other Place.
The Other Podcast. Yeah. Yep. So you can hear me on Coruscant Nights and on The Other Place. You can find my art at markeberhart.com. That's EBERHART. And I want to thank Andrew for donating for Destiny.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, helped us get those rank cars and helped head out Darth Vitiate a little bit in his little thing. So yeah, made all that stuff happen. Very cool. So yes, thank you to Andrew and anybody else. Remember, you can always donate to Destiny to either affect Flight Risk, Coruscant Knights, Dicey Cantina. Who else does it, Mark? There's a bunch of other shows.
Starbirds does it, and New Republic Radio. They do it. They're doing sort of their own thing with their own charities. But yeah, all those podcasts can all be affected.
You love listening to our shows. Now you get to be a part of it by, you know, affecting our game. So do that. Donate for Destiny. Links are in the show notes for this episode. Coruscant Knights. Just check it out. It's a great cause. Please donate. It helps everyone out. Thanks for listening to the Flight Risk Podcast. If you like what you heard, please head over to the podcast service of your choice and leave us a review. Every review helps more people find the show. If you want to help the show out, please spread the word on social media. You can find us on Twitter at Flight Risk Pod and on Facebook. If you want to help us in a monetary fashion, you can head over to Patreon and help support the show.